Blog Talk Radio.
This week at Restoration Place.
A reproach is a terrible thing to carry inside of your heart. Because here's the thing, nobody else can see it, but you've got to deal with it every single day.
This is James Thompson. We celebrate 5 years on the King James Radio Network.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore Jr.
Amen. God is faithful.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to stand and we're going to get ready for the Word of God.
Amen.
And we thank God for this vessel that's coming before us.
Amen.
And it's none other than our pastor. So we want to put our hands together and let's greet him with a hearty Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm
Amen.
Going to... I want to say this, and Darlene, well, actually it was Nikki, just reminded me, on the Sunday that we have our 4 o'clock service, we're going to start our new members class at 2:30 that Sunday, so that we'll be ready for the service at 4. So I'm probably going to get here a little before that to set up the equipment, so the equipment can be set up. I think I'm going to actually get here maybe about 1 and set up... Yes, Nikki? Oh, okay. So I think I'll probably get here about 1 to set up the equipment so I don't be sweating and everything, and then I can come back for the new members class and then be ready for the 4 o'clock service. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm just really excited to be here today. And I've really, in this last month or so, I've really been in a different place. And I guess it's because of these elections. I've never been one. And I can say this in all truthfulness, I've never been one to watch CNN. My brother and my mother, they spend an exorbitant amount of time, watching CNN. But I've just never been one to want to watch a lot of the news. I'm either reading or doing something else because I just don't want to put all that type of stuff in me. But I don't know what it is about this particular election, but I've really been spending a good amount of time watching what's going on. And it's not so much watching the candidates, but it's just watching and sensing and feeling the atmosphere of things that's going on this particular time. This feels different.
Yeah.
And I've been really praying and interceding a lot about this because I know something is going on in the realm of the spirit. So I just pray that all of you will really keep your hearts and your minds tuned in to what God is saying and what God is doing in this season, because there's a lot of meanness going on right now. And I was telling my grandson Javon, we went to work out this week together, and I was telling him it kind of takes me back, because I was raised in Virginia, and it takes me back to that atmosphere that was going on then, and it almost feels the same way now. So And I've often said that, you know, those types of things, meanness and bigotry and hatefulness, those are spirits that operate in the world. And these spirits, again, have been loosed in this country. And I think it's because of the way the things that we have compromised on, the things that we're doing, we're accepting, you know, wrong for right and right for wrong. And we've just compromised so severely God's word and God's precepts. And so we are now experiencing a lot of the residuals of that. So it's really incumbent upon us to make sure that we keep our country in prayer. Even the leaders, you know, and it really doesn't matter to me who the leader is, because I know who the leader is.
But, yes, amen.
But it's just incumbent upon us to keep this country in prayer, because we're not in a good place right now as a country, and we really need to we really need to be mindful of that, because I'm concerned with the things that are going on right now. I have to admit I'm concerned, because, you know, as I told you guys before, I'm 64, and being that age, I was born in 52, so I was born right at the time of a lot of the different things, the rights and protests and things that were going on. So I remember how that felt, and it's that same type of thing right now. That's why it's really important that we pray. And Grandma, I know that you know, because you experienced the same thing, you know, as a Jewish person. So it's really incumbent that upon us that we keep this country in prayer right now. You know, it's important to cast your vote, so don't get me wrong. It's important to cast your vote, because you lose your voice when you don't vote. But it's also more important to make sure that we keep this country in prayer. And I mean, we are the ones that should do that. We are the believers that undergird this place. We are the reason that the Holy Spirit is here right now. It is us that He's here for. And when He lifts His presence, or He takes us away and He leaves, that's when all chaos is going to break out in this world. So it's important for us now, while we're here, to pray for our country and pray for the leaders of this country, not only the ones that are running for president, but the ones that are in Congress and in the Senate, because there's a lot of meanness, just hatefulness, and I mean things that just doesn't become us as a nation. We have always been the nation that set the standard and set the tone for righteousness and integrity and doing things the right way and being a country that other countries could look up to, other countries who will come to us, you know, to set things right. Now it almost seems like we need to find somebody to help us to set things right. So keep us in prayer. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the word of the Lord for today. Father, we thank you today just for being here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives, for the abundance of your righteousness, your mercy, and your grace that you give us every single day. And Father, we just want to just pray that you will just continue to bless us, that we will continue to operate as one, that our hearts and our minds will be fixed on you. And we pray that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. We know that we are more than conquerors. We're not going to get the victory, but we are victorious. Yes, we are winners right now. Yes, we win. Father, we read Revelation. We win. Yes. We are more than conquerors right now. So we magnify you for that, Father. And we're grateful. We know that by your Spirit, you know, all things are possible. So, Father, we pray and we believe. We set our hearts and our minds towards you. And we're believing, Father, that you will have your way in this country. And we thank you in advance, and we know that you're going to do it. So when I pray, Father, now that I would decrease, that Holy Spirit, you will increase. That your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And I do believe that people will be saved, healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and every bondage. And I thank you in advance, and I know that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. Exodus 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And it came to pass. Whenever the Bible says, and it came to pass, it means what it said really did happen. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that, where he looked around to see if anybody was watching. And when he saw that there was no man looking, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So I want to talk today about removing the reproach. Removing the reproach. And I really want to talk about this, because I think this is, once we can deal with this thing that operates on the inside of us because of things that happened in the past, I think we can actually begin moving forward into our call and the things that God has called us to do in the present as well as the future. When you think about this story with Moses, this whole story is amazing to me. I mean, it really is. This is just an amazing story, because think about there was an edict that was put out by Pharaoh to kill all newborns, I think up to the age of 2 years old,
because they were worried about the growing nation of the Israelites, and that they might one day grow to be so many that they were trying to usurp the authority of their nation, the Egyptians in Egypt. So they put out this edict, and when Moses' mother heard about it, you know, him being, you know, a newborn, she hid him away so that he would not be killed. And this really was divine providence. And I think about some of the things that happened to us and some of the things that we don't know about, some of the things that we are feeling and not understanding. And how many times have you gone through something where you just didn't understand and you are like, God, what are you doing? Have y'all ever felt that way?
Yeah.
You ever want to just ask God, what?
Yeah.
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes God is doing things that even as believers, we don't understand it. We don't get it. We don't understand why we even have to go through it. And this is basically what happened to Moses. Now, his mother, you know, loving him the way that she did, she hid him away from the soldiers that came to kill him. But who would have known that the Pharaoh's daughter would be out there bathing and would see this child? And it's amazing to me, because I think about our siblings. I look at the children there, and I think about how children can, yet they might argue with one another and fuss over things and, no, this is mine, no, it's mine, no, I want it. But when somebody else start bothering them, they take up for one another. You know, because, I mean, they might have beef with one another, but yet they still love one another. And this story amazes me, because Miriam, Moses' sister, you don't normally just go up to the Pharaoh's daughter and start talking. You just don't do that. I mean, so I still wonder, and, you know, how this worked out, because it doesn't tell us how she actually got to talk to the Pharaoh's daughter, because as an Israelite, you just don't do that. I mean, this is the Pharaoh's daughter. You don't just go up and strike a conversation with her. But anyway, she did, and, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses, and was the child, he wasn't named Moses yet, and she, she got the child, and the sister was so bold, she said, well, you're going to need someone to nurse him. And she said, well, yeah, I will. She said, well, I know someone, I know an Israelite that can do that quite naturally. It was Moses' mother. This is amazing how, in God's divine providence, sometimes the things that happen in our lives, the things that we complain about, God will always provide somebody that will be a blessing to us. Isn't it amazing how, even when we're going through our trials and our tribulations and our tests, and we don't understand, you know, we're trying to hide our child, but yet, you know, in God's divine providence, I mean, look at what happened to Moses. Moses was taken in by the Pharaoh's daughter. And let me tell you something, this was God's divine plan. We don't understand it. Darling, we don't know about it. We can't even explain from the Word of God how this thing even happened, but it was planned and ordained by God to be. And, you know, sometimes you're looking at your own children, and you don't even know the child that you may have in your household. You may have a prophet or a prophetess or an apostle or an evangelist that, you know, one day will be the cause of thousands and thousands of children or people getting saved. So you don't even know who you have in your own household. And I'm sure that they didn't know that Moses would be the one day, you know, some 40 years later, that will come back and bring them out of bondage. But now, and I said all of that to say this. Removing the reproach, sometimes Moses, you know, after he had grown up, Moses knew who his people was. Though he was raised with the Egyptians, he was raised in their culture. He was raised to, you know, understand the things they understood. He was raised to, you know, understand their ways, and he knew their gods. He knew the gods, not one, but the gods that they worshiped. So he knew everything about him, but yet Moses knew who he was. And how many of you know that no matter what situation that you're put in, you've got to remember who you are in Christ?
Yeah.
There's nothing that can happen to you that you can forget who you are. Because though Moses was raised in a different household, Moses yet realized that the Israelites were his brethren. And when somebody was messing with them, look what he did. He took up for them, and he killed an Egyptian, and he had to leave that country. He had to leave his comfortable surroundings. He had to leave everything that he was familiar with. And some people, someone asked me one day, well, that was kind of crazy, wasn't it? that you own and the stuff that you have. But there's got to be something in you that you're going to stand up for right, yes, regardless of what it may cause you to lose.
Yes, yes, amen.
Right is right no matter what. And Moses, because he did this, there was a reproach that was placed on his life. And if you have never experienced a reproach, let me explain to you about a reproach. Because, see, I know what it feels like to have a reproach on your life. I know what it feels like to be a reproach is carrying around something, you know, that maybe everybody else can't see. But yet, Trey, you know that it's there because of the things that happened to you in the past. You know, let me say this. A reproach keeps you living in the past. So, you know, something happens to you, and you remember that thing, and everybody that looked at you, they said, oh, my God, she made me such a show. She does such a blessing. But yet, you know inside of you, Cheryl, that reproach is still there, and you are carrying that thing every single day. A reproach leaves you cloaked in a cloud of guilt and condemnation. You know, how many of y'all ever seen the movie Star Trek? Y'all seen the movie before? You remember the part in the movie where I forget what they're called, the guys, they would cloak their spaceship. And the spaceship, though it was there, it seemed as though it was not there because it was invisible. So they had something where they could make themselves look invisible, though it was still there. And that's what reproach does. It gives the appearance of not being there, but yet you are still carrying that same thing on the inside. And you can't even really move forward because you're just full of guilt. You're feeling the weight of what's happened to you in your past. And sometimes there are things that you had absolutely no control over, but yet you still feel the sting of that cloak and that guilt and that condemnation. If you've ever dealt with condemnation, if you've ever dealt with guilt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It takes you in a place where you feel like you'll never get over it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Guilt is one thing that you carry inside. You know, sometimes even, you know, I remember, you know, as a child, when this guy was attacking my sister, and because I was a little guy, you know, I didn't really have the physical ability to deal with this guy, and I watched him just, you know, throwing my sister around and just doing things to her that made me so angry. And though it was not my fault that he did this, but yet, Brittany, I carried the guilt and the condemnation because I felt like I should have been able to do something. And I got to tell you, that thing lasted years and years inside of me. And it's the same way with us. There are things that are happening in our past. We are carrying the guilt and the condemnation of it, though God has forgiven us, though you may not even have been responsible, but yet the heaviness and that reproach you still carry on the inside of you. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
It paralyzes your future.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen situations where things that have happened to women are in their lives that it scars them so badly that every time they get in a relationship, they inadvertently destroy the relationship because they believe they're not worthy to have somebody that wants to treat them the right way. So what they do, they start looking for people, looking for men that's the same model of the man that abused them because they think in their heart that they're not worthy of anything more than that because of the reproach that you can't see, but it's cloaking them. It steals on the inside. They still carry this reproach that I'm not worthy to have anything better. Here's what's even worse. We as believers, we carry that same reproach because we've been taught all lives that there's something inherently blessed about being poor. So every time we get to the place where we feel like we're prospering, we inadvertently do things to get us back in that broke mentality because we feel guilt and condemnation about having more.
Yeah, I got.
A reproach is a terrible thing to carry inside of your heart. Because here's the thing, nobody else can see it, but you've got to deal with it every single day.
Every single,
can you imagine? years, Moses had to go through this because of this reproach that he was carrying on him. Now, I want you to see how God works. Because here's the thing, you got to get this in your heart. Though you are carrying the reproach, the moment you ask God to forgive you, it was done. He doesn't remember when you come back and try to remind him. He doesn't care to talk about it again because in the eyes of God, Nikki, it's done. When you ask God, you know, and I remember this because it took me years. I mean, if you get my book, you'll see I wrote about this in my book as well. I remember when my dad, I was a member of a Boy Scout, the Boy Scouts. They were going to have a parade, Cheryl, and everybody had to get Boy Scout uniforms. But now, we didn't have a lot of money when we were coming up, I was promised that I would get this Boy Scout uniform. So now, I'm thinking, okay, you know, the parade is going to be on Saturday, so, you know how you do, you start counting the days. You know, every day your dad come home, you look at me, I don't see no Boy Scout uniform. Thursday came, I didn't see no uniform. So now Friday came, I'm getting nervous. So Friday comes, and I'm in a room with my brother. I hear the car, so I go and look out of the window, but then I run back in the bedroom to try to act like I wasn't looking. So, because I really wanted to surprise myself, whoa, that's a bad idea. He came into the bedroom, and he pushed the door open. He said, well, son, listen, Dad wanted to get you the uniform, but, I'm not able to do it. He started explaining to me the things that are going through financially, and, you know, you got to use the money to get food. And here's what happened. He left the door cracked, and I thought he had walked away. So I looked at my brother, and I said, don't ever believe anything that Dad says, but he's just a liar. And he was standing right there by the door, and he just pushed the door. Now, for those of you that don't know my dad is a 6'3". He's a big guy. So now, you know, I'm like maybe 10, 11 years old. He pushed the door open, and he's just standing there looking at me. I'm shook. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm going to get thrown through the window. He's just going to crush me under those big feet. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what was going to happen to me. So he stood there looking for about a minute. And you know, after about a minute and a half, Rich, you know what happened? A tear started rolling down his eyes. So now, this reproach of calling my father a liar to my brother, and then because I love my father so much, and then to know that I'm the reason that, because I had never seen him cry before. So I'm the reason, you know, the first time I see, now you imagine this reproach. The first time you see your dad cry is because you made him cry. So now I carried this thing on me for years. And he stood there looking and he had the tear came down his face. He never said a word. He never said, if he would have screamed at me, if he would have took his belt off and just whooped my behind good, I mean, I would have felt better. But the fact that he didn't say anything, he just stood there with his big self and he just looked at me. And he turned around and walked away. And then my brother was mad at me. You see, they used to call me Junie. Y'all don't have permission to do that.
Yeah.
You see, Junie, you see what you did? You made Dad cry. And then my mother comes in. What in the world is wrong with your father? So now I got everybody in the household is mad. My brother, my sister, my mother. Everybody is mad at me. Well, you knew Dad didn't have no money. You're so selfish. And then I really felt real bad. And about an hour later, what do you think happened? He came back home with a Boy Scout uniform. Because he was more concerned about how I had made him feel and how that might make me feel, knowing that I was responsible for him doing that. And he gave me that uniform. I didn't even want to wear it. I was just so happy he wasn't mad with me. I didn't even care anything about that uniform. I really didn't. I mean, it's the honest truth. I didn't care about the uniform. I was so glad that he wasn't mad with me because he put his arms around me and he hugged me and he said, I don't want you to ever think that if I make you a promise, I won't do it. But if your earthly father will do that, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those that love him? Can you imagine that God is trying to keep something away from you? Because this is how we approach him sometimes. We sometimes really believe that God is trying not to bless us. And God is trying everything within him to get a blessing to us. And here's the thing, then we carry that reproach. And I tell you, for years and years and years, even though he was assuring me almost every other, son, it's okay. it's okay. And I said, yeah, Dad, I know. But it took me years to, because I couldn't imagine. I said to myself, how could you do something like this to your father? He's your provider. You know, we lived in a nice house in a nice community, and though we didn't have a lot of money, Trey, we were able to eat. And you know, I'm talking about now back in the late 50s, early 60s, so it was a hard time then. And I said to myself, how could I have treated my father that way? But can you imagine how your father in heaven feels when you don't believe the promises that he made to you, particularly when he said that his promises are yes and amen,
yes.
That if you believe all things are possible,
yes.
To them that believe, that he said by his son, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How can we not believe what God said?
Yes, amen.
And this is the reproach that we carry on ourselves sometimes. And see, this is, I believe, one of the reasons that we can't get blessed. Because I don't believe sometimes, Cheryl, we believe we even deserve to be blessed. And listen, you got to get this. We are royalty. That means you belong. You are not just Nikki. You are not just Darlene and Trey. No. It's more than that. You are royalty. You are the child of a king.
Yes.
Do y'all understand?
Yes.
You are the child of the one who created this universe.
Hallelujah.
You get special privileges because of your birthright.
Yes.
Do you understand
yes.
that?
Yes.
God's going to give you more because he's El Shaddai.
Yes.
He's not even allowed to give you what you asked for.
Yes.
Nigga, he's got to give you more because
yes.
of who he is.
Yes.
So we don't have to carry the reproach.
Yes.
We don't have to feel angry. We don't have to feel sorry for ourselves. We don't even have to beg God. We just ask him in faith.
Yes.
And then we make decisions like we believe that it's already done.
Yes.
But let me tell you what happens to your future when you carry the reproach.
Yes.
Moses for years carried this thing. Then God came to him. I want you to look at this in chapter 2, verse 17. Let's see. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 3. And let's look at verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Man, you know, Trey, that'll preach all by itself. When you go, you shall not go empty. Let me say that again. God, I think y'all heard me. When you go, you shall not go empty.
Yes.
My God, my God, my God. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and shall spoil the Egyptians. That means that not only are you going to be blessed, Trey, but your children
yes.
are going to be blessed.
Yes.
Do y'all hear me?
Yes.
All of those prayers that you've been praying,
yes.
they've not been prayed into naught, because God has heard your prayers, and you shall not go empty.
Yes.
My God, he shall put and then listen to this. Brittany, this was the rehearsal. This is what God told Moses before it happened. So this is why, Trey, I really don't understand when he finally got there. He even told Moses, he said, listen, let's practice. He said, okay, put your hand inside of your breast. And when he took it out, it was leprous. He said, now put it back in there. When you brought it out, it was regular again. He said, you got a rod in your hand, throw it down. He practiced with Moses. Y'all better get this.
Yeah, amen.
I'm talking about practice. He practiced with Moses before it happened. See, y'all think there's no good in practice, but I'm just talking about the blessing sometimes is in the practice. My God, he practiced with Moses. He said, okay, Moses, now, this is something else you're going to do. Throw down the rod. When he threw the rod down, it turned into a serpent. All of these things God told, he said, I'm also going to use signs and wonders. Let me tell you something. You may not feel qualified. You may feel as though you don't have the intellect. You may feel as though you don't have the anointing. You don't have the skills. But if God has called all, you got to remember this. He left a murderer. He left a, he had killed an Egyptian. But God said, there were people that were looking for you. See, y'all don't get it sometimes. Sometimes you think God is being, is punishing you because you're not getting the blessing. But see, God couldn't bless Moses the way he wanted to because the people that were looking for him were still living. But God said, now I'm going to call you. You can go and do what I called you to do because the people that you were, that were looking for you, they're now dead.
Wow.
And all of those dead things in your life, yeah, all of those people that's been holding you back, let me tell you something. When God gets ready to move you, he's going to move them first.
Yeah.
You ought to be excited about that. My God, my God. So I can see now why Moses felt so bold. I mean, because you really couldn't understand why a guy who left with remorse and a guy who left with reproach on him could go back to Egypt, not just to go back to Egypt, because Egypt was a big place, but to go into the house of Pharaoh and demand that he let his people go. Now, you're talking about crazy. Now, you better have a word from God before you do something like that. But can you imagine that? And Moses even told God, well, I'm not worthy. I mean, I stutter. I can't even talk. God said, don't worry about it. Your brother's going to go with you. Your brother's eloquent. You do what I said. I'll let him do the talking. You know, you're going to deliver my children from the children, I mean, from the Egyptians. So now, can you imagine the anointing that God has placed on you?
Yeah.
Because, see, we got something that Moses didn't have. We got the blood of a lamb, my God.
Yeah.
We got the power of the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
that lives in us every single day.
Yeah.
We got goodness and mercy following us everywhere that we go. How many of you know that the anointing of God is in you right now?
Yeah.
The anointing of God is in you. The anointing of God goes before you. So when Moses finally met Pharaoh, he was bold because he allowed the reproach that he carried for years in his heart to be moved. Now let me tell you something, guys. I know what it feels like to carry a reproach, because here's the thing. You don't feel free to talk about it to other people. Because some things that have happened to you in your past, they make you ashamed. You don't want to face it. You don't want to talk about it. You know, if you feel as though if you tell people about it, they'll start looking at you differently. Because the things that happened in your past is a leper approach even in your body. But you're ashamed to talk about it because of the way that people look at you. But let me tell you something. When God removes the reproach, God does a good job of it. Some of you right now, you're carrying things, but you got to believe God enough to let it go.
Yeah.
You got to believe God enough to let it go. It's in the past. It's done. Listen, God cannot even effectively use you until you trust him with that reproach.
Amen.
You got to be willing to give it to him. Because the Bible says he nailed it to the cross. All sins, all iniquity, Brittany, they've been nailed to the cross. When God looks at you, all he sees is Jesus.
Amen.
You got it. And Jesus was perfect, so he looks at us through the eyes of Jesus. We're delivered, honey. We're set free.
Yeah.
No weapon that is formed against now can prosper.
Yeah.
Everything that God designed us to be, you're not going to be that. You are that right now.
Yeah.
You may not be walking in your eventual call tray, but everything that God designed you to be, you are that right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure you didn't grow up thinking that you would be sixth in the world in the spoken word. I mean, no, I know you didn't. But see, that was in you from the foundation of the world. God breathed that anointing in you before he even made you thousands of years ago. He said, Trey, we'll make him number six so he don't get the big head. We will make him number one. But everything, you said, thank you, Jesus. But everything that God has designed for us, he designed from the foundation of the world. And if God will remove a reproach from Moses, don't you believe that God will remove the reproach from you? So why are we waiting to rejoice? Why are we not thanking God for the things? Listen, I told y'all a few weeks ago, you got to put that stuff on the wall, and then you just got to thank God for it every single day.
Yeah.
I had a crazy thing that happened to me, and I think I told everyone here about it. I may even have shown you. We had what is called, what did we call that table?
Table.
The table of promise. And on that table of promise, sure, we had, you saw it, we had all of the things that we were believing God for. You know, the cars, the homes, the furniture, you know, debt-free. I even put that debt-free. I mean, all the things that God spoke to us, we had it on that table. And we would pray over that table and anoint that table and speak over it. And so one day I decided, well, let me take a picture of this so I can keep it, you know, so I can always have it. And so I leaned over the table, Corbett, and I took a picture of the table. But when I looked at the picture, this is when it got real strange. Because it showed a person that whose head, and I'll show y'all the picture, I still have it, whose head was over up to the ceiling. And they were, if the table was right here, they were looking this way as a profile. I thought at first I was seeing things, and then I said, well, maybe I caught Darlene somehow on the picture, but Darlene was on the other side. So we were both scratching our heads. I said, well, honey, do you see this? She said, well, John, I don't see anything. I said, you must be blind. I said, you don't see. I said, look right here. And then I showed her, and she said, oh, my God, who is that? I said, yeah, that would be the question. Who is that? And to this day, I mean, I have asked God straight several times, who is this? Who is this in this picture? Who is it? You know, I never got an answer. But I know this. Some of the things that you believe in God for, you got to understand that every one of us have at least one guardian angel. Amen. I don't know if that was mine or not. I tell you what, it was not a being from this world, because there was nobody in that room but Darlene and I. And I'm telling y'all, I know y'all said, Pastor, come on. I will show you the picture. I will show it to you. I mean, I should call C.N. Roth. This is supernatural. You have to know. You think you're sure supernatural? Nah, dude. This is supernatural. I've heard about things like that, but I've never, ever experienced anything like that myself. To this day. I mean, to this very day. I actually looked at the picture earlier this week. It's on my laptop. It's on my laptop, actually. I'll show you before we go home if you want me to. But Trey's like, I won't see it. Oh, you saw it already. That's right. But I don't know who it was. I don't know. I can't say I don't know what it was. I believe I know what it was. But I tell you this. I didn't have no fear. I didn't start looking around saying, okay, who is this? Where are I didn't feel like that at all. I felt no fear, no nothing at all. I mean, because here's what I'm saying. You know, it reminds me of my friend Raymond. I told y'all into this story. There's this woman that tried to put a hex on him. She's from Louisiana. And she liked Ray, and Ray didn't like her. So she decided, I'm going to put a hex on him. So they were in this park. And I remember the story he was telling me like it was yesterday. They was in this parking lot. And she came up to him and said, she's going to curse him. And he said, I'm not afraid of you. She said, what do you mean I'm not afraid of you? You're not afraid of me. He said, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in you. And that's what we got to understand. The greater one lives in us.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The greater one lives in us.
Amen.
All power and authority has been endowed in us. Yes. We have the power because the Spirit of the living God sure lives in us. Amen. You don't worry about things from another world. They better worry about you because you have all power. Yes. You have all authority in this world. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's give God some praise. Because all of their authority, all of their power, we don't have to carry the reproach.
Yes.
Because God has removed their reproach from our lives. Are y'all excited about
yes.
God today? God has removed the reproach out of our lives.
Yes.
Don't have to be worried about that stuff anymore. Yes. You don't keep going to God and whining and moaning. You know, just the thing that you believe in God for, just thank Him for it.
Yes.
I'm just telling you the word now.
Yes.
If you believe all things are possible, what things soever you desire when you pray, listen, believe that you received, past tense,
yes.
Believe that you received it, and then you will have it. Prophet asked me one time, he said, well, Pastor Baseball, you want to know when all of this is going to happen? No, yes, Darlene then. He said, you want to know when all of this is going to happen? Darlene was like, yeah. He said, when you believe. You know what he said? He said, when you believe it. So this is what I'm saying to you today. If you believe it, if you really believe it, it's yours. Because that's all that God requires. It doesn't require anything else than you but faith. That's the currency of heaven. Faith is actually the currency that we use in heaven. So if you want to buy something from that realm, all you got to pay for with is faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now listen. And that he rewards those who seek him how, Nikki?
Diligently.
That means over and over and over and over. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we're grateful and thankful today just for ministering your word into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. We're grateful, Father, because we know everything that you promised, you will make good on it. So, Father, we don't see it, but we are thanking you in advance. And by faith, we bring it and we call it forth from the realm of the Spirit and to this natural realm. So we thank you, Father, for every promise that you've made us, because we know that your word is yes and amen. So, Father, we're not asking you to do it again, but we're thanking you because we believe that it's already done. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.